and welcome to the latest episode of In The Box. Tom and I are here in Birmingham to visit Bourneville Warriors.
Yes, we're here at Shenley Academy, the home of Bourneville Warriors, where they've got a partnership that's going from strength to strength, where they've secured a facility here to make sure they can continue to grow and establish their club.
It's a really interesting partnership between Bourneville Warriors and the Shenley Academy. So Tom, should we take a little walk around and see who we can find to talk to?
Absolutely, let's go.
Now, this is what I call a proper welcome. Wayne, chairman here at Bourneville Warriors. Thank you so much for having us on this episode of In The Box.
Oh, you're welcome.
Right, Wayne, let's get to it. Firstly, tell us a little bit about your football club.
Established in 2000, starting with a couple of teams, moving on to what we've now got, 14, 15 teams within the club. So, yeah, a lot of progress.
And obviously you've moved here to Shenley Academy. We're going to talk a little bit more about that during the team talk section of the podcast. Just give us a bit of a flavour of how many facilities you were sort of operating out of before and sort of the history of that.
Yeah, we've had various facilities down the years. I would probably say probably more than 10 facilities over the years. But latterly probably was working with four or five different venues with different pitches, the demands of the FA's game and the modules now, and then 5v5, 7v7s was quite challenging in terms of venue. So we had council pitches or privately owned park pitches that we were renting, AstroTurfs here and there, but finally managed to find a home that we could all come and play together, which has been great.
We know that facilities are so important. Just underline to us how important it's been for the football club to finally have a place to call home.
Yeah, it's just bring everybody together, really, you know, right from the ages of sort of 3 and 4 that the football we do, right through to under 18 football that we do this year as well. We've also branched out into an adult team who don't play here at the moment, but hopefully longer term. So we've probably got the best part of 250 children playing, and they're all in now in the same venue, so they all wear the same kit, all track suits up, etc. All they're looking the same. So just massively homely feel, real club feel now, rather than probably 14 different clubs to a certain extent, wearing different kits and different badges all over the sort of Birmingham area, really.
And we can see the branding, of course, and more of it, I'm sure, is going to go up as this facility and the partnership goes from strength to strength. As an England Football accredited club, how important is it having that sense of identity through one facility and one home now?
It's excellent. I mean, we went on our socials to announce that we were signing up with the partnership to play our games and training here. And within 20 minutes of it going on our Facebook, we had somebody message to say, oh, I just live down the road. That'd be excellent for us. Can we get involved? And it just went from there, really. And you know, the amount of teams that we could now accommodate by being in this one venue is just, it's just exploded in terms of the interest. So, yeah, the partnership's in its early infancy, but definitely looking to do more branding and, you know, more opportunities to play here, really. So it's really good, really, really good.
Wayne, it sounds absolutely incredible. We can't wait to find out more. I think it leads us perfectly for a team talk.
Absolutely does. Thanks, Wayne.
No problem.
Well, this really does feel like an old school team talk. We've got the benches out, and I'm delighted to say that Wayne is joined by Gary. And alongside me, I have got Russ, who is an FA club consultant. And Russ, you know this football club very well indeed, don't you?
Yeah, I've been working with this football club for nearly 18 months now, on and off pitch. And I have to say, some of the amazing work they do, hopefully we're going to hear about today and showcase what they do with the community.
Well, we certainly hope so. So on that note, Wayne, you told us about the partnership with Shenley Academy. We haven't necessarily delved into the details. So can you take us back to the start and how you've got to today having this incredible facility that you call home?
Yeah, as I said earlier, the multiple venues that we had wasn't really fit for purpose, keeping everybody together. And I couldn't really drive past the field or looking over hedges, wondering whether, you know, said goalposts could go into various fields and whether we could move into different venues like that. So we were always looking for a venue that we could come in and, you know, get every team under the same roof, if you like. We were on lockdown and we noticed that there was a football facilities plan program with lots of different venues, including our previous council pitches for pitch improvements. And on this plan was this particular venue, Shenley Academy. And we just investigated, sent a few emails with regards to that they needed community sports clubs involved in order to get different facilities improving, etc. And we just communicated via email and eventually got through to the right people to speak to. And it's just really gone so fast from there, it really has.
Brilliant. And I think ultimately, for the school's point of view, having a football club based here, how does that help you with your school community?
So Shenley as a whole and as a trust, an academy and a trust, we're trying to look to outreach into the community and get local partnerships and start to build that a little bit. Working with Bourneville over the last 18 months has really impressed and really helped us build that community feel around the place as well, because not only that with Bourneville now, but we work with England Netball on a weekend as well. So it really started to take off and also helped some of the students do a bit of a pathway from a school life into extracurricular activity.
Building upon that point, it seems to me, even in a short space of time, this partnership has not only helped the football club, it's helping your organisation as well really become a community asset, which I imagine is probably a synergy about how this partnership came to be in the first place.
Yes, that's right, yeah. Yeah, so like I said, one of the things we were aiming to do is that we had the facilities to let out, but we didn't have anybody of interest at the moment. When Bourneville Warriors obviously got in touch with us, it helped us increase that a little bit and help us outreach to the community. And obviously that's the start of something we're sort of building on at the moment and getting the bigger community lettings and that out in the local community a little bit more of a presence now, if you like.
Wayne, have you found that there's a wider, I suppose, pathway with, there's parents who have children at the school, there's children who are in the school, there might be links within teaching staff or the site itself that's actually benefited the club now you have this partnership?
Yeah, a whole host that Gary was mentioning in the netball there when we were coaching out on the grass 2 or 3 months ago pre-Christmas. One of the netball parents came along and said, oh, I actually work at a university, we've got some students who are looking to do some voluntary coaching, do you take, you know, that sort of voluntary people in? And we said, music to our ears in terms of people wanting to come and help. So as small as that, one of the site security staff, oh, my grandson loves football, now you're on site, can he, you know, and it snowballs from there. You go shopping now and with the badge on and they go, oh, you're at Shenley, aren't you? Yeah, well, yeah, we live at the back of there, and you know, my son now comes to the school, and the interest has just been amazing, really, really has.
It's really good to hear. It's clearly had a galvanising effect and there's plenty of win-wins between both. For any clubs, volunteers listening that perhaps are in the same predicament that Bourneville Warriors found themselves in, looking for a home, many might not think to look at the school or the academy that's on their doorstep. What words of encouragement would you give them to perhaps explore that opportunity?
Well, Bourneville are the proof in that, just by sending us an email and obviously getting in touch, it created that little bit of an impressive feature for us, because we're not used as much, but we have the facilities to be used, but we're not used as often as we like. We are, like I said, we are trying to build that on a community side of things. But that just email, that phone call, you never know. Obviously, we have the facility to help.
And I think ultimately, a quick question for both of you would be, what things have you learned? Because working with schools and football clubs sometimes isn't easy. What would be kind of some top tips to give away to others who might be listening to say, well, these are things we've learnt on the way, it could help them?
From the club's point of view, just communication. You know, really try and help. So if you see that things might not be working quite well from the school's point of view, like maybe mud everywhere on a Monday morning and things like that. Yeah. As many times that you say, don't bang boots and the things like that. So we just invested in some boot cleaners that we've now got them by the pitches. So that's just an extra layer. And I think the school then coincided with that by putting extra bins to keep a bit of rubbish, you know, from floating around the school and things like that. We've got the defib, that the club had defibs, so we agreed with the school that we could put it on the outside of one of the walls outside so the school could use the club's defib as well. Communication and just working together, really, for the benefit of not only the school but the club as well. And then the community can use it, and it's just really good. Just work together, really.
Yeah, I've pretty much reiterated that. Communication is key for us. One, obviously, because first and foremost, we are a school and we're an academy to look after the school kids. So the communication with Bourneville and ourselves has been great. So any little hiccups that we've had, such as when you mentioned the mud on the car parks, which is a big thing for us, might only seem minor, but it is generally a big thing, has helped. So the communication has worked really well with both them and other community lettings as well.
I really love that answer because it highlights something that is just the realities of providing football on a daily and weekly basis. Russ, I wanted to ask you a question because you've been at the heart of this as a club consultant supporting Bournville Warriors. It's a really fantastic example of a strategic partnership working with a little bit of innovation and teamwork thrown in the mix as well. What was it like for you as a distant observer and then kind of getting hands-on to help this all come to be?
In my past experience, I've worked within an education setting and also worked with clubs who are working within that. So ultimately, being advice, so whenever there's a question or there's something that they wanted a little bit of insight or knowledge for to help out, it's kind of been that role there. I think ultimately there was a will from the club and a will from the school that kind of makes the win-win and the common unity together. When there's not that, I think that's the hard bit then where really it's kind of forcing or driving a wedge between something that wants to happen or not.
Gary, building upon that point, education and football, to me there's always been a synergy because I think that sport is a fantastic way to teach young people, people of all ages really, some really important skills, and it obviously benefits and enhances what goes on in the curriculum. Again, perhaps there's a lot of people that haven't necessarily seen that correlation. Do you feel that the education sector now is perhaps a little bit more open-minded in terms of how it can work with football clubs, netball clubs, rugby and a multi-sport approach?
Most definitely, because what we're aiming to do is, or looking to do is, in the not too distant future, is work with Bournville on that side of things, on an educational side, so where there some of their coaches can come in and do lessons and do some coaching courses, extracurricular activities as well with them. Because although we do a lot of stuff on a weekend, it's something that we don't explore enough in the actual curriculum side of things. So yes, we have PE teachers who do curricular activities and specific lessons, but from that perspective, we could use Bournville in that area as well and kind of utilise their skills and what they can do for us as well as an academy.
Two-way thing, and I use this phrase quite a lot, what's your common unity, what brings you together can be that, and football is a great tool to do that really. And maybe if it's reintegration back into school through behaviour through football, or even for setting for using maths through football with league tables and goals, things like that are obviously really powerful. And I think if that can flourish and develop, I'm pretty sure the club will be happy to help you with that.
I look forward to it.
Well, look, a final question for you both, because I know that training is going to start shortly. The partnership is flourishing. It's going from strength to strength. It also feels like you've barely scratched the surface in terms of the opportunities. From both your perspectives, and Wayne, I'll come to you first. What does the future hold for this partnership between the two?
The partnership has allowed us to access so many more things already, things like pitch funding, improvements and things like that. So certainly the grass and the pitches will be improved significantly. There's already been work been done on them already. So little things like that, that behind the big behind the scenes things like that have already happened. You'll see signage sort of cropping up here and there, which is going to continue to improve. We've now got access to kitchens outside to be able to do match day refreshments. So how much we've done already, it's just snowballing into doing so much more. So there's lots to come, isn't there, really?
Most definitely, I think, and working with Bournemouth has sort of set a benchmark for us to see how successful it has been, what we can do in the future and how we can progress and bring other people involved now as well as the other facilities we have to offer. So hopefully it continues.
Well, best of luck to you both. Thank you so much for letting us come and visit for this episode of In The Box. I'm really excited to see what the future holds. I dare say we'll probably be back again, won't we, Russ?
Hopefully, and I'm looking forward to what the future brings with your great relationship and partnership.
Thank you very much. Thank you both.
Well, the team talk isn't over quite yet. I've got the bench and I'm ready to call a substitution because the club president, Pav, is also around. So let's have a little chat to him as well. Right, I've made a quick substitution because I'm delighted to say joining us for a team talk now is the founding member of Bournville Warriors and current president of the football club, Pav. Pav, welcome to In The Box. So you were here at the very, very beginning. Tell us about how you got involved and what the journey's been like.
First of all, thank you for having Bournville Warriors and myself. What a big introduction for me as a little person. I'm a co-founder, which was with another parent, which started back in 1998. Both our children were at a local club, but as you get that certain roots club, they weren't given a fair run. And then in 2000, we were going to be forming the B team to that club, which the plug got pulled, And then me and this other person called David Ferris Day started the club, and the children chose the name Bourneville Warriors.
And that's where they are today, Russ.
Brilliant. Well, let's roll on 22 years, and you went to the FA Club Conference with hundreds of other clubs. Could you have ever imagined 20 years on from you setting up and co-founding a club to sharing your great knowledge and learning other knowledge from other clubs at a whole FA event?
I think a big credit goes to the setup at St. George's. It was totally mind-blowing. I just wish, as Bournemouth Warriors, we could have had that access to... Because one of the things I stood at, the answer is in the room. You know, there's no substitute for experience. And I'm just waiting to put everything into practice, but all at a good stage by having your good self as our leader, Mr. Russell, and using the potential that is here, as which has already been highlighted earlier in the interview.
That's wonderful to hear. And Wayne, it's interesting that you both have a familiar start to how you got involved with the football club. Many, many do. It's through their kids or a member of their family and so on. It also highlights to me the significant part that volunteers have played in the growth of the football club. Now you have this incredible facility. You've spoken about the way the club is growing in terms of the numbers of young players it's reaching, the adults game as well, stepping into doing more educational courses. How important a part do volunteers play in helping you achieve that?
Massive, really. I mean, we've always said you'll always get the children turn up. You'll never struggle to form a team. If you advertise, we need players. You'll always get phone calls. You know, the phone doesn't stop. Pav still gets phone calls from years gone by, don't you? And you put the messages in. Any team needs? But it is the volunteers. And, you know, we want to progress this partnership with the school, but we're also aware of the bigger the partnership gets and the bigger the club grows, the more volunteers we are going to need. So they play a massive part, and we're now working with Russ with regards to how we might be able to bring additional people in to help us, school leavers, right through to grandparents, potentially manning the car park or something like that. If we're going to get bigger, we need the people. We can't get big without the people. So it goes hand in hand, really. But massive, they play a massive part. I really, really do.
I think it's something I've learned a lot of working with football clubs over the years is volunteers aren't worthless. They're priceless. And putting a value or a cost to their time is something that's really important. Something we're trying to help clubs to do is have a return on investment and an amount that, kind of generates back into society for your clubs and teams. What would you say for that, Pav, in terms of the amount of hours given? What's the impact that you see in your time or now when you visit a game?
I think if you look at it financially, Russell, if you just look at the minimum wage, with the teams we have, I think we would say when we've got over 35 to 45 volunteers.
At the last count, I would imagine that's probably gone up a little bit more, but yeah, certainly as a guide.
And I think as a rough estimate, that equates to possibly about £120,000 a year. So over 10 years, that's £1 million. And the club would not be here without the volunteers.
Pav, I wanted to ask you, from being that parent that set up a football team to now when you walk through the doors of the Shenley Academy and you walk around, you see all the pitches packed of a weekend. It will be packed in this hall very shortly as well. It must give you an incredible sense of pride. For anyone listening that perhaps is at that stage where they're just setting up that first team, what one tip would you give them to unlock the opportunities that they potentially haven't even thought about yet?
I think the thing is doing things the right way. You can by all means rush and get things wrong. And I think what we've achieved over 22 years is because we've done it the right way. Look at the long-term goals and stick to quality rather than quantity. All teams want to add more teams so it's more revenue, but that's not necessarily the right way. I'd rather have, if I may use the analogy, because I love analogies, on my plate, I'd rather have quality food rather than quantity. So football's a bit like that.
I love how you sum that up. Wayne, a quick question for you, maybe just for the viewers today, something that we're helping out with the club is something that many clubs would find a challenge or an issue to them about the workforce and how we grow the off-pitch support. Maybe it's just something you share with us. What are the plans or things happening in place to help out the off-pitch at the moment?
Yeah, we've got posters up, as you've seen when you've come in, with regards to people to express an interest in certain things like media. So important nowadays to sort of get your club name out there on social media and things like that. Even these, there's so many, isn't there? I didn't have it back in my days, certainly, but there's so many avenues there to just get the name of the club out there. So people who know how to work these things, me and Russ are sort of both the same, really. We can't use certain things, can we, Russ? So, using people with expertise to do the media side of things, and we're going to get access to the kitchen, which allows us to have teas and coffees, which then opens up another avenue to speak with parents. And we want to try and find out what expertise we've got within the club, because it might be we've got painters and decorators in the club that we might be able to then deck out our sheds and our cabins and things like that, storage containers. So really getting to know what expertise you've got in your club, I think, is invaluable. 200 odd players, so many parents, grandparents and family members that can aid the club moving forward. So we're really looking to drive a lot of interest, aren't we, with the help of Russ, what he's doing with the club at the moment. We've had a few people express interest to do things already, so we can't get bigger without these people. So,
well, there is so much good stuff going on. I'm sure there'll be a queue of volunteers wanting to get involved with the amazing work you're doing, not only on the pitch, but off the pitch too. And I can tell that means a lot to you, kind of serving your community, representing your community, and you're doing a fantastic job. The focus of this episode is on facilities. So just coming back to that point finally, I want to ask each of you, what one tip, hint, piece of advice would you give to volunteers at their football clubs that might be not unsure where to go, where to start? They might be in the same quandary that you were in, a home spread off across an area. What piece of advice would you give them if they have the objective of eventually having a home like this?
I think it's knowing what you need. I think, like Pav touched on, we know that there's other clubs who've got lots and lots and lots of teams that dwarf us in terms of size. But we didn't want to go down that route, that's not a right or wrong way in terms of how you do it. We wanted to just keep at a certain level of team so we could maintain it and do it properly. So if you have one team, get that right, like Pav says. Once that's right and you know the sort of platform and the way you want to do it, then you can build from there. And you will get loads of interest from that. If you go too big too quickly without your structures in place, you're really setting yourself up to fall. So get things done properly. At the ground level. That's why we try and introduce a lot of good habits into our mini warriors at 3 and 4 year olds on a Saturday, and we talk to the parents then, because both my sons started in the mini warriors in this club, and one's now 18 and he comes back and coaches in this club, and he always talks about the things that I used to bang on to him about all the years ago that he hears other coaches talk about. So getting the basics right, and I don't think you can go too far wrong in terms of them building on those strong platforms, really.
I really like that answer, kind of knowing what you're about, because there might be a volunteer listing that is running one team for under sevens. There might be another where it's a club with 10, 15, 20 teams, but knowing what you need and being focused on that is going to unlock the opportunity that's best and most suitable for you. And then in turn, Pav, doing things right, which was your piece of advice. What final tip would you like to give listeners of In The Box?
I think what's helped me and the club is do not be afraid to add freshness. I'm conscious Wayne Cumming is, as a chairperson, he's the one who had the vision to make contact with Shenley. And a fresh mind thinks totally different to somebody who's been in the job a while. A wall in the front room, always need the wallpaper changing, new paint, and a club is no different. And this is where we are. So, look for freshness. You get ideas.
And finally, Russ, what one tip would you give?
Apart from perhaps talking to my wife about this and DIY, I think my tip would be, ultimately, there are people under your nose, but sometimes they're not going to bang your door down to help you. So how can you get to build relationships, integrate, and make them feel a part of the club, so therefore the recruitment or succession of volunteers isn't a chore, it's an ease. And that's part of the work that the club's doing well with some success as we go.
Success indeed. There is so much experience and knowledge on this bench. It's been a fantastic team talk. Thank you all very much. Now, Tom isn't here for this team talk. He's been having an explore around. Let's see who he's caught to talk to.
So while Charlotte's been doing the team talk, I've been out here having a conversation with Steve, the treasurer. Steve, thanks ever so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you.
Couple of questions. Key role being treasurer, yep. Obviously looking after those finances. The club's played across many facilities and now having one facility and one home, what's been the biggest benefit for you as the treasurer of the club?
I think the main thing is just dealing with one set of people. As you say, across 10, 15 different Astros gyms, the logistics were, you know, taking up so much of my time. Dealing with one set of people, fantastic. Second thing I thought of that we've really benefited is we now know our costs. So our budgeting, we've been able to budget for the first time. We haven't got the haphazardness of gym going up, AstroTurf, etc. And the booking of them, you know, they're quite limited in this part of the country. So having one set of people to deal with, brilliant. Being able to plan ahead, realise how much we've got left in our budget to spend on, you know, the nice stuff. It's been absolutely fantastic. I couldn't recommend it enough to come to here. It's absolutely brilliant for us.
And Steve, obviously I can see that smile absolutely beaming through. It must give you a great pride, and obviously the burden and the work that goes into obviously booking and hiring them amount of facilities, a lot of people will take it for granted, but for yourself, actually having one home just releases that burden on yourself. How has that made you feel?
We have been able to afford new equipment. Another plus point here, coming to a site like this, a secure site, is we can afford to put it in the sheds, knowing they're going to be there, you know, the week after. So we've had new goals, through the funding, partly through the FA funding, but we had new kit, new goals, you know, new equipment, new balls, on a budget that we knew we could afford, because we've got an idea of what we're going to spend each year.
So obviously having a sense of identity, buying all the new kit, balls, bibs, cones, as you say, without them the football club can't run, and keeping them secure in a facility like this is absolutely fantastic. But obviously having a sense of identity and putting this on your home, you'll be investing in some branding and stuff for the home of Bourneville Warriors?
Absolutely. The school were very good at putting the signage out the front. It was quite a proud moment for the club and the committee when they saw that go up. We've been playing on parks pitches for 20 years. To see that go up and have a home, I think everyone just takes so much pride in that. All the kids looking the same, all branding, we had new badge, we had a little competition amongst ourselves to get a new badge. It's been fantastic. It was like a rebirth of the club.
Well, Steve, thanks ever so much for being on the podcast. We don't often have treasurers on because they're always the ones in the background squirreling away, counting the pounds and the pennies. Thanks ever so much for your time. We're going to go inside now and check out all the activity. And tell me what you love about football.
It's magic, isn't it? I absolutely love football, from this high to the size I am now. And doing the football with the kids and the girls here on that Monday evening, magic. But just love it. So exciting. Love the buzz, love meeting people, love giving the kids a chance to play the football. It's just ace. Contagious, isn't it?
And Bourneville Warriors, tell me about them.
Magic club, so been around them since my lad was four in the academy. I loved the way they were set up. I love that they give every chance to the kids to play football. It's not about picking the elite players or the good players. Everybody gets some time. And the facilities since coming to Shenley have been absolutely fantastic for us. And the kids love it, absolutely love it. It's a great club, really supported, great network behind us, it's ace.
And final one, under 13s manager, why'd you volunteer?
I've no idea. No idea. But for me, it's about giving the opportunity for the kids to play. We've got a squad of about 18 with us, and then we've got four or five that come training just for the love of the game. They don't want to play on the match day. But giving them the chance to play, we do Thursday, Saturday, and matches on a Sunday. Just love it. It's fantastic. And they have such a scream. They're a great bunch of lads. The coaches that I do it with are brilliant as well. So it's like a big family. Love it.
So, Josh, tell me why you love football.
I love football because when I was younger, my dad made me play football. And ever since, I think I was about two, I was just kicking footballs on a daily, really. And now just love the game, playing it all the time.
Absolutely fantastic. So, tell me what you love about Bournville Warriors.
The thing that I love about Bournville Warriors is the fact, like, the fans and everyone's like, it's like a massive group, like a family. You can get along with anyone and everyone you talk to, really, you create a bond.
So, Josh, you volunteer at the club as well as play at the club. What do you love about volunteering and what would you say to others to get involved?
I love volunteering because I've been here for so long. I've been here since we've been at King's Norton, so I just know everyone, really, and why not bring more people into the club and help out more and hopefully get more people to join the club and hopefully, in a few years, make a girls' football team.
I love football because I get to wear my grippy trainers.
I love football because all the boys lose.
I love football because I like playing with my friends.
I love football because I like to play with my friends.
I like my football club because I have nice friends.
Tell me why you love football.
I love football because it's fun and I enjoy playing the sport that I love.
It's like the best sport in the world.
I love Bournville Warriors because I think it's a really friendly and nice team and it's really good.
They are a really good sportsmanship team and they show really good games all through the year.
I love football because it's very interactive. I can be with my friends and I get to do it very often.
Well, that's all the time we have for this episode of In The Box. It's been fantastic to be here at Shenley Academy, exploring their partnership with Bournville Warriors. Maybe it's an opportunity that you can go back to your club and explore with your local academy or school.
And don't forget to take up the opportunity of joining us on our online community, Clubhouse. You are welcome to join a whole host of other like-minded volunteers where we delve into a whole range of subjects from facilities like we have done today, into volunteering, marketing, and so much more.
And if you're watching this back close to our launch date, we've got a very important message for you England Football Accredited Clubs. Don't forget to renew your accreditation by the deadline of April 30th, 2023. All you need to do is visit clubs.thefa.com.
It's so important that you make sure that you get your club accreditation done by the next time we see you on In The Box. That is all we have time for this episode. Until next time, goodbye.